This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
All right, my friends, we are halfway home. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Great to be back on the air with my brothers, Paul Reindel, the executive producer, Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, and wellness check. I feel pretty good. I'm inspired this morning. I do have a sick one at home. Taylor is homesick. Hannah's running Bo to school right now, so he keeps coming in asking me when we can play Monsters. And I said, I've got a couple more hours until we can play Monsters. But I'll definitely get to you, buddy.
What's involved in playing Monsters?
I pretend I'm a monster, and I chase after him.
Does that come pretty naturally to you?
It does. It does. Yeah. Yeah. Hannah would definitely say I play that role to with great aplomb, Ben, playing the role of monster. What would you guys say? Would you say it comes natural to me?
No, I think you're just a sweetheart. You get a monster exterior.
It's true.
You're like Sully from the movie Monsters, Inc. You look like a monster on the outside, but you've got a heart of gold on the inside.
I look like a monster. I know I'm not looking my best. I have not seen the sun in many, many days, but so I don't know, man.
You're a handsome monster, but kind of a monster.
Thank you. But it's good to be back with you guys. The trip to Joshua Tree was very, very fun. I didn't tell you guys how it got started. Paulie knows because I called him on the phone because I didn't know what to do. Do you want to hear this quick one, or do we want
to? I'd love to.
Continue to panic about.
No, I'd rather hear. You already sent me the picture of the guy who cursed you at the the bar, which will now like haunt my soul for the rest of my life.
Like, yeah, I mean, I've never seen a dead man drink beer.
It literally looked like a cadaver sitting at the bar, and I'm sorry if that's mean, but I mean that guy could be in movies. That was frightening.
Paul, are you going to put it up in the chat so people can see
it? I don't know. Is that
it?
Okay? I don't want to just...
I wasn't sure if it was.
I don't know if it's okay to even put it up.
I didn't take it.
But Woods told us when he went, and he feels like he may have been cursed by a fellow patron at a lounge in Joshua Tree where he went during his break. And then he sent us the picture of the guy. And I go, I mean, how bad can it be? I mean, he's just an old guy, right?
He has cursed me and our buddy Jack. Jack has not been able to go back to work since. And he looks like the guy in the Pirates of the Caribbean ride that's like summoning the cats.
I mean, good for him for still being
good for him.
Out
Probably
and about
himself,
at the age
beer.
Of 127.
Yes.
But that's impressive.
So this was pretty priceless. I got out to the the Airbnb that I had rented, and I was way early as usual. And I pulled up, went to the grocery store, got all the stuff, timed it out perfectly, pulled up to the Airbnb, and I noticed a car was in the driveway. And I said, well, this is weird. Is it the owner wanting to show me around or whatever? So I got out, and I kind of nosed around and looked around. I said, well, I don't see anybody. Well, I poked my head over the back fence, and there was a guy swimming in the pool of the Airbnb.
Okay.
And I went, in my mind, I'm like, it's checkout time, buddy, right? And I looked over, and he had a towel laid down, and there were drinks, and, it looked like he had really made himself comfortable. And this is right at check-in time. So I'm like, all right, this is a new one for me. And I ended up calling the Airbnb place, and now I went through a company that has a few different properties. I was at the wrong venue. I was at the wrong, it has the same address. One is A, one is B. And so I was full on panicked. I was about to, I thought it was some desert squatter that was like, well, this looks like a nice place to take a swim, make myself a cocktail. So I was wrecked. I was a full on wreck. And I just like, I called, she's like, oh no, you're in the wrong house. You need to go up the street a little bit more. And I was like, oh, crisis averted. But, we had such a great trip, man. It was really fun, but I don't, after Jack not being back to work and me getting hit with COVID, I don't know how excited I am to go back to Joshua Tree. I really think there was a curse laid upon us.
I'm sorry. The comments in the chat now after Paul showed the picture of guy are absolutely slaying me. You guys are too funny.
It was unbelievable.
Lisa says, oh, it's Danny Trejo
in 50 years.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Oh, pretty amazing. Well, I mean, that was your fault that you went to the wrong Airbnb. It's not like when we went to the Airbnb at spring training and no one had bothered to set it up for us and we couldn't even stay there. So no, that one's on you that you went to the wrong address.
Yes, yes. So what do you guys want to talk about now?
All right, well, I want to throw out the phone numbers because we're going to play real or fake here in about 3 minutes and we need a contestant. So let me do that. 833-288-0973. Chance to play a little Padres real or fake and qualify for a trip to Las Vegas. So you mentioned earlier, and I think you made a good point, when we talked about Mike Schilt's comment that I'll take the roller coaster of winning 7 out of 9 series. And you said, this season hasn't been a roller coaster. It's been a carousel. I don't even think it's been a carousel. What's the most boring ride that is in existence? To me, it's a teeter-totter.
A carousel?
No, carousel at least goes around and there's like horses. A teeter-totter is the worst ride and the most boring thing you can put your kid on. Up, down. Up, down. And that's what this Padres...
Do they have teeter-totters at the amusement park? But a teeter-totter is a good... It's a good way
I think that's the most accurate description. And I had the stat this morning that came from Kevin Acey's newsletter because he wanted to talk about it. Well, has it been a roller coaster? So if you break the season down into 6-game stretches, essentially week by week, most times you play 6 games in a week, correct? One day off, 6 games, 2 3-game series. Here's been the Padres 2024 season by the 6-game stretches. 3-3. 2-4, 4-2, 3-3, 2-4, 4-2, 3-3, 3-3, 3-3, 3-2. There's not even a hint of roller coaster to that. They've been absolutely win a couple of games, lose a couple of games. Win a game, lose a game. Win one game, lose 3 games. Win 3 games, lose 2 games. The entire season long. They have just been treading water all year long. This is who the San Diego Padres have been the first 2 months of the year. That's the farthest thing from a roller coaster. A roller coaster is a team that wins 9 in a row and then loses 6 in a row and then wins 8 out of 9 and then loses 10 out of 12. That's a roller coaster. This is the exact opposite of that for the San Diego Padres this year.
Yeah, I mean, the roller coaster feeling is just kind of the here we go again. You know, we're up, we're down, we're up, we're down. But you're right, man. When you lay the numbers out like that, yeah, the seesaw, I think, is the other word you were looking for.
Yeah, teeter-totter, seesaw.
Trash truck is here, yep. They're a 500 baseball team. And we do this every week, I feel like. They're just a 500 baseball team right now until they can prove that they can go on a run. I think they have the talent to do it. Need some luck to break in your way. Their schedule is softening up here a little bit pretty soon. But this team's shown really nobody any indication that they are able to take advantage of a softer schedule. I'm more likely to going in and beating the Braves 3 out of 4 is insane. That's insane that this team has that in them. The Yankees came in and obliterated them 2 out of 3 games, but that's what the Yankees have been doing to everybody. And it just, you know, I want better for them. I think they're actually better, but holy cow, man. I just don't think that you can parse this out if you're Mike Schild of saying, well, no, it's not actually a, I'll sign up for that roller coaster every week. He threw out a number, 96 wins. Ben, we'd have to go like 64 and 37 to get to 96 wins, somewhere around there. I sent it to you guys yesterday. That's going to be almost impossible to do.
Yeah, I mean, if you went 6-4 every 10 games all season long, that's what you'd get to. But when you mix in a 4-6, you know, and a 5-5, well, obviously you're not going to get there, because even though the Padres have won 7 out of 9 series, they're not consistently all season long playing at a 600 winning percentage. If they were, they'd be about 7 or 8 games above 500 at this point, but they're only one game above 500 right now. So they're not. They're not that team that plays 600 ball that Mike Schild is saying that they are. Have they been over the last 3 weeks? Yeah, they have been. If they keep that going all season long, they'll be absolutely fine. If they play like they have over the last 3 weeks, they will win 90-plus games. They will make the playoffs. So in that sense, yes, there is no need to be concerned. They are playing at a level that will get them to the postseason right now. But they're also playing at a level that gives them no margin for error if they do go on one of those stretches where they lose 6 out of 7. Because then they'll be right back where they started earlier in the year and trying to climb their way back out of a small hole under 500. And then you have to go on a winning streak to do that. And they haven't shown the ability to do that so far. All right, let's get to it. A little delayed, but let's play today's Throwback Thursday game of Real or Fake.
Some are here for the compelling sports talk with Ben and Woods.
Yeah, you can go plow through another donut.
It's time for Real or Fake on 97.3 The Fan. Tell the people what they'll win today.
Playing for that getaway to Las Vegas, we got Juan on the line. Juan, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, you're our contestant today. And Woods, while you've been gone, we've been playing Padres Real or Fake, and we've actually learned some interesting factoids about players. We had Jake and then Yu Darvish yesterday. Today, we'll be talking about Jurickson Profar. So, Juan, if you can get 4 out of 7 correct, we'll put you into the grand prize drawing for the 2-night stay at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino and 2 tickets to Warrant, Lita Ford, and Paralandra on June 22nd. Get your tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. So, Woods can help you out with the questions. You just have to take these 7 statements and tell me if they are real, true about Jurickson Profar, or fake, false about Jurickson Profar. Juan, are you ready to play?
Yes, sir. I got my 10-year-old son, Adrian, ready to help me out as well.
He can help you, too. And Woods can help you also. All right, so round number 1, Jurickson Profar. Still just a teenager at the time, Jurickson hit a home run in his first Major League at-bat in 2012 with the Texas Rangers. Real or fake? Juan?
Woodsy, what do you think? My son's telling me no. What do you think?
I think it's real, buddy.
Oh, now you put him in a position where you've got to go either with your son or with Woods.
I know.
That's tough.
Right.
Okay.
Broadcasting expert.
We're going to go. I'm going to go with my boy.
Yeah, I would too. Unfortunately, Woods was right, and your son was wrong on that one. No. It was real. He hit a home run in his first inning. That's okay. We can come back. This is just one. You still need just 4
where I
runs.
Grew up, buddy.
All right, round number 2. Round number 2. All
That's
time,
right.
The Padres are 38 games above 500 when Jurickson Profar is on the roster. Real or fake?
Oh, that's real.
That is absolutely real. 38 games above 500 during the times that Jurickson Profar is on the team. All right, let's go to round number 3. Jurickson led Aruba to back-to-back Little League World Series title games in 2004 and 2005, winning once and losing once. Real or fake?
Real. Oh, that's real.
Oh, I gotcha. It's not Aruba. It's Curaçao.
Curaçao.
Xander's from Aruba. Oh, that was mean of me. That was just mean, mean, mean. I hope you come back from that one. All right, round number 4. Jurickson has 2 brothers named Jeremy and Jurdick. Real or fake?
Whoopsie.
Man, I don't know that I've ever heard anything about his brother, so I'm going to say fake.
Jeremy
and Jurdick. Real or fake? Juan?
What do you think, buddy? He's saying fake.
That's real. Those are his two brothers. Jeremy actually is also a professional baseball player as well. All right. You need to get these last three correct here, Juan, but it's doable. I think you can do it. In 2006, Jurickson won a 14-and-under youth national championship as the top solo catamaran sailor in Curaçao. Real or fake?
Oh, was he? Was he? Did he go offline?
No, I'm here.
Fake. He says fake.
He thinks fake.
Okay, I'm going to go with Woods.
Yeah, I totally made that up. I think Jurickson was just playing a lot of baseball growing up in Curaçao. He was not a champion yachtsman. All right, here we go. Round number six. You're still alive.
It's more believable that Ben Higgins was a championship yachtsman at 14.
Here we go. Yes. All right, be careful on this one. Jurickson has played more Major League games for the San Diego Padres than any other MLB team. Real or fake?
Ooh. Was he? I think that might be true.
I was going to say fake.
Mm-hmm. This is tough.
This is tough because he's more time with the Padres than I think than with the Rangers or A's. I'm going to say real.
Good for you, Juan, because it is real.
Nice.
417 games with the Padres, 351 with the Texas Rangers. Well played there. So that gets us to round number seven for all the marbles. Real or fake, Juan? Jurickson's middle name is Johannes. Real or fake? Jurickson, Johannes, Profar.
Oh, man. Woods?
Fake.
He says fake. What do you say, Juan?
What do you say, buddy?
Real.
Oh, man. I remember the last time he was wrong. I'm going to say fake.
Yeah, this time Woods is right. It is fake.
Yes.
His middle name is Bartholomeus. Jurickson Bartholomeus Profar, which means that's four. You came back.
That's a dub.
And you got the win, Juan. You are into the drawing. Hang on the line. Paulie will get all your information during our break. And congratulations on a stressful but well-played game of Real or Fake here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, we'll come back. Do not go anywhere. We got Eno Saris ahead, Smart Baseball. And don't forget, in our next hour, we are going to meet live the Rent-A-Friend from last week. Paulie has tracked him down somewhere outside of Chicago. He's still alive. He's still kicking. And he's going to join us to tell us exactly what inspired Rent-A-Friend from 1986. All ahead here after traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Well, did you miss some good stuff while you were gone the past couple of days, including another fun conversation with Brett Boone yesterday, who then went on to talk to Albert Bell on a podcast. He said, no, he said Albert Bell's actually a sweetheart, which I still can't totally believe, but he had nothing but kind things to say about one of baseball's grumpiest, surliest players of my absolute lifetime in Albert Bell, which was fascinating.
Oh, yeah. I think terrifying player.
Catch that on the Odyssey, the Brett Boone podcast, available now to hear that conversation. But we also talked a little bit about his reunion with his brother this past weekend when Aaron Boone visited with the Yankees. Did you see Aaron Boone getting tossed from another game yesterday?
I did, and I thought he had a legitimate beef there.
100%. So if you missed it, Juan Soto got called out. And it's funny because you watch baseball your entire life and never see something. And then twice in the same week, you see the same call. Remember the White Sox game that ended on the infield fly rule when the runner on second was called for interference because the shortstop had to go slightly around him to catch a ball, which he didn't even need to catch. It would have been an out anyway.
Yeah, well, infield fly.
Last night in the Angels-Yankees game at the Big A, where the Padres will be in a few days, Juan Soto was on second base, runner on first, bases loaded, I think, pop up, and it's right by the second base bag. Zach Neto is trying to come in to make the catch for the Angels, and he comes in about two steps in front of second base. It's right by the bag. Juan Soto then has to go back to the bag because he doesn't want to get doubled off, so he kind of goes behind Neto and around him so he can get his foot on the base. But then Neto realizes he's overrun it and backs up two steps and runs into Soto as Soto's putting his foot on second base. And Juan Soto was called out for interference, and they called another infield fly double play. Second time in a week, something that I had never seen was called. And Aaron Boone came out, and he was pretty upset, obviously, and I think he had good reason, especially, well, I thought the one last week was really silly. At least that happened, like, you know, about 15 feet off of second base, and you could have maybe been a little more careful in terms of watching where the fielder was going. Juan Soto had no choice but to go back to the bag. If he is off the base when Zach Neto catches that, and Zach Neto touches second, Juan Soto gets doubled off.
Double play.
So Juan Soto has to get back and touch the base. The only opportunity for him to do that was to go behind Zach Neto, which Juan Soto actually went out of his way to stretch as far away from Neto as possible while also still reaching second base with his foot. And at that point, to me, if you can't make the play without running into the guy who is entitled to second base, how can you call that in interference and double play? Well, that made no sense to me, that ruling by umpires again.
And White Sox manager Pedro Grifol talked about it last week and goes, yeah, it's something that you never see, but you can rest assured you will see it again. You will see it again, and you will see it again soon. Some team is going to try to use that to their advantage to get two outs in that situation. And that's exactly what happened last night. I think the Yankees did go on to win, but holy cow, man, that is really, really something.
And I don't know that Neto was doing anything on purpose. I mean, he couldn't see so because he was backing up into him to try to catch that baseball, which, again, it was an infield fly. He didn't even need to catch it. It led to, I believe, the 37th ejection of Aaron Boone's career, which is, in seven seasons as a manager, that's a lot. There's only two managers in baseball who have been ejected more than Aaron Boone.
Is that five a year?
And they're Bob Melvin and who is the other one? Both of them have been around for like 20 years, though, and managing way longer than Aaron Boone has. Aaron Boone has been ejected as many times as Bud Black has in 17 seasons, in just seven seasons. So his rate of ejection per year is the highest in Major League Baseball by far. But that one yesterday, yeah. I totally... I will give that to him. That made no sense. You can't, that's a, if that's the actual, like, correct ruling on that play, then they need to change and fix the rule, because as a field, as a runner, you have to be entitled to have your foot on the base. If otherwise, you're going to get doubled off the base. You can't just, well, I guess I better wait here, like, 10 feet away from the base until he catches it.
It makes no sense.
Because that makes no sense at all. So that was a weird play last night. You're right, the Yankees did end up going on to attack game. A couple of other games, the Brewers beat the Cubs 10-6. First loss for Shota Imanaga after going 5-0 in his first nine starts. And as always,
and really interesting. They gave him he had 11 days between starts, and they were talking about it. I watched some of that last night on the broadcast. That, like, you know, you get that you want to be careful, but I mean, was not sharp at all.
No, gave up seven earned runs in three innings, as the Brewers have taken two of three from the Cubs in that series. I guess it's good the Padres stayed ahead of the Cubs in the standings. Not that it matters that much at this point in the season. Cardinals climbed back to 500. I mentioned it earlier. They started 15-24. They're now back to 500 after they beat the Cincinnati Reds 5-3 yesterday. And a very quiet World Series rematch completed with a two-game sweep by the Rangers over the Diamondbacks, who won 6-1 yesterday. The Diamondbacks just have not been able to get it going, haven't been that healthy. Obviously, Corbin Carroll has struggled. They just haven't quite shown that. I mean, after spending money in the offseason, it just hasn't really translated into anything for them so far this year.
We need them to continue to struggle.
Please.
And we need the Giants to start struggling badly as well. And they've battled back. They looked left for dead a couple weeks ago as well.
All right, we will talk more.
Sleepy Bob's got him playing a little bit better, I guess.
Yeah, we will talk more baseball with the great Eno Saris from The Athletic. Our weekly Smart Baseball segment is coming up next, so do not go away. More Ben and Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. It's an off day for your San Diego Padres in Kansas City. They will open a three-game series against the Royals tomorrow, 5:10 first pitch here on 97.3 The Fan. You know, the last time the Padres were in Kansas City, Woods, you were with the team in Kansas City.
That was another rough trip. Oh, my God. Remember that?
Yes, I remember the story where you broke down on the side of the road and there was no bathroom and you had to do serious business on a highway outside of Wichita.
And I ate that delicious barbecue sandwich with Reese's peanut butter cups in it.
That's right.
I think about it every day. I loved Kauffman Stadium, by the way. Absolutely loved it.
Well, that's where the Padres will be for the next 3 days. We had Eno Saris standing by, some smart baseball on the way right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's time for the super polished, yet to be named Smart Baseball Weekly segment with Eno Harris. Saris, son of a bitch. Brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from the ballpark by the bay in Chula Vista. Here's Eno Saris with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Of course, in addition to his writing for The Athletic, Eno is a well-known sandwich guru, but I bet you've never had a sandwich with Reese's peanut butter cups on it, have you, Eno?
I have not, and I want one.
Dude, I'm telling you, I thought it was going to be disgusting, and it wasn't. It was unbelievable.
What else was on it?
Like brisket sandwich with barbecue sauce, and then there's Reese's peanut butter cups mixed in with it, and then there's bacon bits on it. God. And it was at Kauffman Stadium. They came out with it. I go, what kind of slob do you have to be to eat this? Well, I'm raising my hand. I ate it and I loved every second of it. It was
like
incredible.
2,000 calories,
dude. It was. it was incredible. I would eat it right now, and so would you, and so would you, Ben.
Yes, I would. I would
oh, too. It was brilliant.
You know brilliant. How have things been? Good to hear from you as always.
Yeah, it was good. I took my kids' little league squad to the game last Sunday, and we had a blast.
So you had some interesting tidbits about one Matt Waldron this week in your Athletic column that you wrote about the knuckleball, and specifically throwing it harder. And I thought some of those numbers were really interesting. What did you kind of see after what was definitely Matt Waldron's probably best start of his career? Seven innings, really looked good. We were at that game on Tuesday night, sitting right behind home plate. It was dancing. It was effective. The Marlins didn't know what to do with it. It was very impressive by Matt Waldron.
Yeah. I mean, he is now the knuckleball velocity king. And the last knuckleballer to win a Cy Young, R.A. Dickey, you know, I did an extensive interview with him. It was one of my first times in the clubhouse. And he talked about how important velo was. Now, the harder you throw it, the less it moves, which is something that might be obvious when you watch him. But knuckleballs that go harder are even more effective. So knuckleballs over 80 miles per hour produce a 190 batting average and a 292 slugging. Knuckleballs under 80, 255 batting average, 417 slugging. And the whiff rate goes down too when you throw it slower. So, you know, I think he should just throw it as hard as he can every time, and I think he should probably even throw more of them. You know, I thought maybe, you know, if he throws it hard, he can't get in the zone, but I looked, it's 88% of the time when he throws it hard, it's within the shadow zone, which is like just outside the zone. So it's like near the zone. So I think he should just throw the hard one very often. Maybe he can throw the soft one. Maybe somehow, like, people throw slow curves, like when Yu Darvish throws the slow curve, or, you know, as a changeup off of the knuckleball. But when he throws that thing 84 miles an hour, it is beautiful, and the hitters don't have a chance.
Talking to our pal Eno Saris here from The Athletic, and always appreciate your analysis and your knowledge. And, you know, it's hard, man. It's been a hard team to handicap for the last couple seasons. You know, it really has been. And I feel like every time we talk to you, there's some new anomaly, with the San Diego Padres. Their inability to really go on a run is something I feel like we've talked a lot about. What do you attribute that to? I look at this team, and I see sometimes, does it boil down to maybe a potential lack of slug and power sometimes with this team? Because I feel like lately the games we win, we are singling them to death. I really do, which, again, there's nothing wrong with that. But do you think this team lacks a real power threat or two?
I mean, I think it has them. It's been lacking them, if you know what I mean. I mean,
yes,
right now,
yes.
They are 25th in isolated slugging, which is slugging minus batting average. So they are down there at the bottom with the Giants, Cardinals, Pirates, Nationals, not too far above the Marlins and White Sox. It's not a good place to be. But we talked about this before, and the diagnosis for me is fairly simple, is like they're doing pretty well right now, given that they haven't had vintage Manny, and that, you know, after Tatis has had a hot start, he hasn't been quite the same. I, you know, you can throw Xander in there as missing when he was there and now hurt. I mean, those are the three highest paid players, and if you add them all up, they're, you know, round league average. They need to be better than that. They need to be outstanding. And so I think that's probably the place that I would poke around at. Sometimes it seems also like some of the back end pitching is inconsistent, but you know what? That's kind of a problem for every team. Every team is like doing their best to come up with a guy. If somebody has to sit, or, you know, who is like our fifth starter is awesome. You know, it's a rare thing.
Ray Kerr is starting again for the Braves today. I mean, even the good teams don't necessarily have a lot of deep starting pitching.
Yeah, yeah. So I like Randy Vasquez more than starting a game with Ray Kerr. So, you know, I think it really is that the big guys need to stand up.
Eno Saris from The Athletic is with us. You mentioned Manny. We talked a lot about him in our last hour. You know, the slug has not been there for Manny, but Woods looked at his sliders, you know, his StatCast sliders, and bat speed's good, exit velocity's good. It really is launch angle with Manny this year. It's he's hitting way many ground balls. When he gets to the ball in the air, it's not high in the air. It's more like line drives. And how important, I mean, when you combine the two together, you know, the best players, how do they consistently get that kind of lift that they need to actually hit some home runs when they're hitting the ball hard?
Yeah, I mean, it does come from different places, you know, so you can get lift from hitting high pitches, you know, and that's been a big thing for the Astros. They're high ball hitters. And I think in years past, you know, Manny has gotten good lift from high pitches. In fact, if you look at his swing maps from years prior, he's mostly a high ball hitter, actually. Middle, of course, but high. He's not one of these scoop guys. And you can even see it from his swing. It's not like a Kyle Schwarber. It's not like a Cody Bellinger, right? Where it like goes down and finishes up, you know? It's a much sweeter sort of, medium kind of swing. And, this year, what you'll see is he is swinging at more pitches down. I don't know why that is. I mean, they're definitely trying to fill the zone up on him, down. And, I don't know. There's something there with how people are pitching him. And I wouldn't be surprised if injury had something to do with it. We've had other guys, like Ronald Acuna Jr. before he was hurt this year, he hit a lot more ground balls after his first ACL surgery. So sometimes it's just your body not quite letting you, you know, put the same swing on it that you had before. On the other hand, like, you know, he had a nice throw in the last game and it looks like the elbow's fine, right? Like it looks like he's good to throw with. So maybe he just needs to find his old swing or something, but, there's something there in pitch selection, I think.
Talking to Eno Saris here from The Athletic with Ben and Wood. So a big story in baseball this week was the incorporation of the Negro League statistics into the baseball record book, changing some of the records, Josh Gibson becoming the all-time batting average leader ahead of Ty Cobb. And I wanted to get your take on it, Eno, because I said yesterday, I just thought it logically made sense to me. I mean, you know, American and National League teams didn't play each other, yet you combine those statistics together, and by all accounts, the competition level was at least equal to what it was in all those leagues. So why wouldn't you put them all together? But I wanted to see what you thought about it.
Yeah, I'm excited to have this database open to the public. And, you know, I think one of the things that, you know, comes up when you discuss things for the Hall of Fame or you're trying to compare numbers, what you find is that almost every number needs context. Almost every record needs context. And so for those that say, well, that wasn't, you know, the big leagues at the time, you can actually kind of disparage the people that played in the American League and National League for not ever facing some of the best hitters and pitchers of their time. You know what I mean? We talk yeah. about integration baseball, post-integration baseball records differently than we talk about pre-integration baseball records for just that reason. So, to include them, I understand that they didn't play in, you know, what was Major League Baseball at the time, but, they absolutely deserve a place at the table. And that, you know, there's always context to every number, and you should, I think it's really great to see somebody like Josh Gibson now, own many of the records, you know, for career numbers. I think he has career slugging. You know, there's a lot of great records that changed hands, and I think they deserve to.
I've been out, you know, so I hadn't had a chance to weigh in either. There was a documentary they did about the Negro Leagues last year, and I'm racking my brain to remember the name of it. It was so brilliantly done. And in that, you learn about Josh Gibson and what he meant to the game of baseball and just how good he was. I saw somebody sum it up yesterday. Well, you know, the Negro Leagues, they weren't playing against the best competition. And neither were the Major League guys, because the Negro League players weren't playing against him. Those are battles that you, as a baseball fan, you fantasize about. You know what I mean? Like Josh Gibson, Babe Ruth, all of those guys playing against each other, what it would have brought out. It's obviously sad that it didn't. I love that these new records are in. I think it's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, one of the things that we do at home here is my son Felix is big into the MLB The Show, and they've had a couple of Negro League storylines, so he's played along. You know, he's a really big fan of pitching, so he's been Satchel Paige
Satchel Paige, crazy.
As a pitcher. And, you know, we've explored that angle, and we thought it was great that MLB The Show did that.
I love your point, though, Eno, that every number requires context. And
yes.
No matter who you consider the all-time home run leader, is it Barry Bonds? Is it not Barry Bonds? Well, there's context to that. And, you know, it's very important to remember. I think nowadays, the fact that baseball is a global sport and you're getting great pitchers and players from Japan now as part of the game that you weren't getting 30 or 40 years ago. Not that the Japan leagues were, you know, the equivalent. I don't think anyone argues that they were back, but now you're getting a much wider group of talent to choose from across the globe to play in Major League Baseball. That changes the context of the current numbers and what players are doing in this era.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to think, like, you know, what if you decided that, you know, three quarters of Ichiro's hits in Japan, you'll take three quarters of them. You know what I mean? Well, then you'd make him, you know, one of the top like three or four guys with hits in the major leagues of all time. You know, he has 3,000 hits anyway, but he had like 1,000 in Japan as well. So, you know, I find numbers really fascinating. And the one thing that voting for the Hall of Fame has taught me is that we like to think that numbers are hard as a rock and objective, but the more you poke around, the more you realize you make decisions as a fan about what to value. You make decisions as a Hall of Fame voter about what to value. The people making the stats make decisions. If you've looked at what the definition of an RBI is over the history of baseball, it's changed multiple times. And it's actually, if you think about it, a kind of a weird stat. Because you don't get an RBI if it's a fielder's choice or if it's a double play. You know what I mean? Like, there's all these, like,
yeah,
but not in this case, you know? So every number has decisions that went into it. Every number, people talk about statistics being fake or not fake, like war is fake. Every number is fake. It's a game that we've decided this, we're going to count this way. We're going to count this way. Those are decisions we made. And so you realize that numbers can be as subjective as anything else. And it's important to kind of try to get the best picture that you can. Yes, you know, in terms of lifetime home runs, Barry Bonds has the record. Do you just want to make it as black and white as that? Or do you want to acknowledge that there was some augmentation during that and that, you know, Hank Aaron might have the actual record? Who knows? There is subjectivity there for you.
Very interesting. Great perspective, Eno. That's why we have you on. Always appreciate it. Thank you for your time, as always.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
Smart Baseball, brought to you each week by 7 Mile Casino with Eno Saris. You get it each Thursday here with Ben and Woods. And by the way, even those the firmest of numbers, Woods, a team's record, also requires context, especially at this point of the season.
Every time.
Who have you played? Yep. What's the health been like? Even those numbers require a little bit of interpretation and context. Some teams may have the same record, but that doesn't mean they're the same quality of baseball team. All right, we'll come back. We got an hour to go. Rent-A-Friend is coming up. And Paul Reindl with a Reindl Report next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. It's an off day for your San Diego Padres in Kansas City. They will open a three-game series against the Royals tomorrow, 5:10 first pitch here on 97.3 The Fan. You know, the last time the Padres were in Kansas City, Woods, you were with the team in Kansas City.
That was another rough trip. Oh, my God. Remember that?
Yes, I remember the story where you broke down on the side of the road and there was no bathroom and you had to do serious business on a highway outside of Wichita.
And I ate that delicious barbecue sandwich with Reese's peanut butter cups in it.
That's right.
And I think about it every day. I loved Kauffman Stadium, by the way. Absolutely loved it.
Well, that's where the Padres will be for the next 3 days. We had Eno Saris standing by, some smart baseball on the way right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's time for the super polished, just to be named Smart Baseball Weekly segment with Eno Harris. Saris, son of a bitch. Brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from the ballpark by the bay in Chula Vista. Here's Eno Saris with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Of course, in addition to his writing for The Athletic, Eno is a well-known sandwich guru, but I bet you've never had a sandwich with Reese's peanut butter cups on it, have you, Eno?
I have not, and I want one.
Dude, I'm telling you, I thought it was going to be disgusting, and it wasn't. It was unbelievable.
What else was on it? It was bar.
It's like brisket sandwich with barbecue sauce, and then there's Reese's peanut butter cups mixed in with it, and then there's bacon bits on it, and it was at Kauffman Stadium. They came out with it. I go, what kind of slob do you have to be to eat this? Well, I'm raising my hand. I ate it, and I loved every second of it. It was
like
incredible.
2,000 calories.
Dude, it was. it was incredible. I would eat it right now, and so would you. And so would you, Ben.
Yes, I would.
Oh, it was brilliant.
You know, how have things been? Good to hear from you, as always.
Yeah, it was good. I took my kids' little league squad to the game last Sunday, and we had a blast.
So you had some interesting tidbits about one Matt Waldron this week in your athletic column that you wrote about the knuckleball and specifically throwing it harder. And I thought some of those numbers were really interesting. What did you kind of see after what was definitely Matt Waldron's probably best start of his career? 7 innings really looked good. We were at that game on Tuesday night, sitting right behind home plate. It was dancing. It was effective. The Marlins didn't know what to do with it. It was very impressive by Matt Waldron.
Yeah. I mean, he is now the knuckleball velocity king. And the last knuckleballer to win a Cy Young, R.A. Dickey, I did an extensive interview with him. It was one of my first times in the clubhouse. And he talked about how important velo was. Now, the harder you throw it, the less it moves, which is something that might be obvious when you watch him. But knuckleballs that go harder are even more effective. So knuckleballs over 80 miles per hour produced a 190 batting average and a 292 slugging. Knuckleballs under 80, 255 batting average, 417 slugging. The whiff rate goes down too when you throw it slower. So, you know, I think he should just throw it as hard as he can every time, and I think he should probably even throw more of them. I thought maybe, you know, if he throws it hard, he can't get in the zone, but I looked, it's 88% of the time when he throws it hard, it's within the shadow zone, which is like just outside the zone. So it's like near the zone. So I think he should just throw the hard one very often. Maybe he can throw the soft one. Maybe somehow, like, people throw slow curves, like when Yu Darvish throws the slow curve, or, you know, as a changeup off of the knuckleball. But when he throws that thing 84 miles an hour, it is beautiful, and the hitters don't have a chance.
Talking to our pal Eno Saris here from The Athletic, and always appreciate your analysis and your knowledge. And, you know, it's hard, man. It's been a hard team to handicap for the last couple seasons. You know, it really has been. And I feel like every time we talk to you, there's some new anomaly with the San Diego Padres. Their inability to really go on a run is something I feel like we've talked a lot about. What do you attribute that to? I look at this team, and I see sometimes, does it boil down to maybe a potential lack of slug and power sometimes with this team? Because I feel like lately the games we win, we are singling them to death. I really do, which, again, there's nothing wrong with that. But do you think this team lacks a real power threat or two?
I mean, I think it has them. It's been lacking them, if you know what I mean. I mean,
yes,
right now,
yes.
They are 25th in isolated slugging, which is slugging minus batting average. So they are down there at the bottom with the Giants, Cardinals, Pirates, Nationals, not too far above the Marlins and White Sox. It's not a good place to be. But we talked about this before, and the diagnosis for me is fairly simple, is like they're doing pretty well right now, given that they haven't had vintage Manny, and that, you know, after Tatis has had a hot start, he hasn't been quite the same. You can throw Xander in there as missing when he was there and now hurt. I mean, those are the three highest paid players, and if you add them all up, they're, you know, round league average. They need to be better than that. They need to be outstanding. And so I think that's probably the place that I would poke around at. Sometimes it seems also like some of the back end pitching is inconsistent, but you know what? That's kind of a problem for every team. every team is like doing their best to come up with a guy if somebody has to sit, or you know who is like our fifth starter is awesome. You know, it's a rare thing.
Ray Kerr is starting again for the Braves today. I mean, even the good teams don't necessarily have a lot of deep starting pitching.
Yeah, yeah. So I like Randy Vasquez more than starting a game with Ray Kerr. So, I think it really is that the big guys need to stand up.
Eno Saris from The Athletic is with us. You mentioned Manny. We talked a lot about him in our last hour. You know, the slug has not been there for Manny, but Woods looked at his sliders, his Statcast sliders, and bat speed's good, exit velocity's good. It really is launch angle with Manny this year. It's he's hitting way many ground balls. When he gets to the ball in the air, it's not high in the air. It's more like line drives. And how important, I mean, when you combine the two together, you know, the best players, how do they consistently get that kind of lift that they need to actually hit some home runs when they're hitting the ball hard?
Yeah, I mean, it does come from different places. So you can get lift from hitting high pitches, you know, and that's been a big thing for the Astros. They're high ball hitters. And I think in years past, Manny has gotten good lift from high pitches. In fact, if you look at his swing maps from years prior, he's mostly a high ball hitter. Actually, middle, of course, but high. He's not one of these scoop guys, and you can even see it from his swing. It's not like a Kyle Schwarber. It's not like a Cody Bellinger, right? Where it like goes down and finishes up. You know, it's a much sweeter sort of medium kind of swing. And this year, what you'll see is he is swinging at more pitches down. I don't know why that is. I mean, they're definitely trying to fill the zone up on him down. And I don't know. There's something there with how people are pitching him. And I wouldn't be surprised if injury had something to do with it. We've had other guys like Ronald Acuna Jr. before he was hurt this year. He hit a lot more ground balls after his first ACL surgery. So sometimes it's just your body not quite letting you, put the same swing on it that you had before. On the other hand, like, you know, he had a nice throw in the last game, and it looks like the elbow's fine, right? Like, it looks like he's good to throw with. So maybe he just needs to find his old swing or something. But there's something there in pitch selection, I think.
Talking to Eno Saris here from The Athletic with Ben and Woods. So a big story in baseball this week was the incorporation of the Negro League statistics into the baseball record book, changing some of the records, Josh Gibson becoming the all-time batting average leader ahead of Ty Cobb. And I wanted to get your take on it, Eno, because I said yesterday, I just thought it logically made sense to me. I mean, you know, American and National League teams didn't play each other, yet you combine those statistics together, and by all accounts, the competition level was at least equal to what it was in all those leagues. So why wouldn't you put them all together? But I wanted to see what you thought about it.
Yeah, I'm excited to have this database open to the public. And, you know, I think one of the things that, comes up when you discuss things for the Hall of Fame or you're trying to compare numbers, what you find is that almost every number needs context. Almost every record needs context. And so for those that say, well, that wasn't, you know, the big leagues at the time, you can actually kind of disparage the people that played in the American League and National League for not ever facing some of the best hitters and pitchers of their time. You know what I mean? We talk
yeah.
about integration baseball, post-integration baseball records differently than we talk about pre-integration baseball records for just that reason. So, to include them, I understand that they didn't play in, what was Major League Baseball at the time, but they absolutely deserve a place at the table. And that, there's always context to every number, and you should. I think it's really great to see somebody like Josh Gibson now own many of the records, for career numbers. I think he has career slugging. There's a lot of great records that changed hands, and I think they deserve to.
I've been out, you know, so I hadn't had a chance to weigh in either. There was a documentary they did about the Negro Leagues last year, and I'm racking my brain to remember the name of it. It was so, so brilliantly done. And in that, you learn about Josh Gibson and what he meant to the game of baseball and just how good he was. I saw somebody sum it up yesterday. Well, you know, the Negro Leagues, they weren't playing against the best competition. And neither were the Major League guys, because the Negro League players weren't playing against him. Those are battles that you, as a baseball fan, you fantasize about. You know what I mean? Like Josh Gibson, Babe Ruth, all of those guys playing against each other, what it would have brought out. It's obviously sad that it didn't. I love that these new records are in. I think it's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, one of the things that we do at home here is my son Felix is big into the MLB The Show, and they've had a couple of Negro League storylines, so he's played along. You know, he's a really big fan of pitching, so he's been Satchel Paige,
a lot. Yeah, that's crazy.
As a pitcher, and you know, we've explored that angle, and we thought it was great that MLB The Show did that.
I love your point, though, Eno, that every number requires context, and
yes,
no matter who you consider the all-time home run leader, is it Barry Bonds? Is it not Barry Bonds? Well, there's context to that, and mm-hmm. You know, it's very important to remember. I think nowadays the fact that baseball is a global sport and you're getting great pitchers and players from Japan now as part of the game that you weren't getting 30 or 40 years ago. Not that the Japan leagues were, you know, the equivalent. I don't think anyone argues that they were back, but now you're getting a much wider group of talent to choose from across the globe to play in Major League Baseball. That changes the context of the current numbers and what players are doing in this era.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to think, like, you know, what if you decided that, you know, three quarters of Ichiro's hits in Japan, you'll take three quarters of them. You know what I mean? Well, then you'd make him, you know, one of the top, like, three or four guys with hits in the major leagues of all time. You know, he has 3,000 hits anyway, but he had like 1,000 in Japan as well. So, you know, I find numbers really fascinating. And the one thing that voting for the Hall of Fame has taught me is that we like to think that numbers are hard as a rock and objective, but the more you poke around, the more you realize you make decisions as a fan about what to value. You make decisions as a Hall of Fame voter about what to value. The people making the stats make decisions. If you've looked at what the definition of an RBI is over the history of baseball, it's changed multiple times. And it's actually, if you think about it, a kind of a weird stat. Because you don't get an RBI if it's a fielder's choice or if it's a double play. You know what I mean? Like, there's all these, like,
yeah,
but not in this case, you know? So every number has decisions that went into it. Every number, people talk about statistics being fake or not fake, like war is fake. Every number is fake. It's a game that we've decided this, we're going to count this way, we're going to count this way. Those are decisions we made. And so you realize that numbers can be as subjective as anything else. And it's important to kind of try to get the best picture that you can. Yes, you know, in terms of lifetime home runs, Barry Bonds has the record. Do you just want to make it as black and white as that? Or do you want to acknowledge that there was some augmentation during that and that, you know, Hank Aaron might have the actual record? Who knows? There is subjectivity there for you.
Very interesting. Great perspective, Eno. That's why we have you on. Always appreciate it. Thank you for your time as always.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
Smart Baseball brought to you each week by 7 Mile Casino with Eno Saris. You get it each Thursday here with Ben and Woods. And by the way, even those, the firmest of numbers, Woods, a team's record also requires context, especially at this point in the season.
Every time.
Who have you played? Yep. What's the health been like? Even those numbers require a little bit of interpretation and context. Some teams may have the same record, but that doesn't mean they're the same quality of baseball team. All right, we'll come back. We got an hour to go. Rent-A-Friend is coming up. And Paul Reindl with a Reindl Report next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.